And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is now time for the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, your announcer, and I will now turn it over to Steve Whitaker, the host of the show. Hello, Pastor Whitaker.
Well, hello, Terry Tackett. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Yourself?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Again, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker. I'm pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We are at 209 East Water Street. Our service times are 9:30 on Sunday morning is our traditional Sunday school hour. And we also have 10:30 worship time and a 6:30 in the evening. One thing we're starting up real quick, though, that's coming up, and it'll be on the calendar. We're starting in just a couple weeks, is Team Kid. And that's on, it'll be on, you know, I hate to say that we haven't pinned it down because there's something that may be in the works that will change it to a Tuesday. But typically and traditionally, it's on Thursdays, twice a month, ages 3 through 6th grade are at the church. And then during that time, I take any teenagers that want to go, and we go right up the corner to Sporty's Pizza in Prospect, and we eat pizza. And they have a place to sit down, and kids can come in. And we just talk about...
On that event, Pastor, is there any age limit with that thing for you, with you?
Teenagers.
Or, just teenagers. Okay.
Teenagers, and they can talk about whatever they're thinking about at school that day. And I try to field questions, and we try to take a look at things from a biblical perspective on what's going on. And I try to just be an ear as much as anything. That's pretty important sometimes. And, of course, on October 7th, we have our Day in the Park, which is coming up October 7th. That will be from 3 o'clock in the afternoon until 6 o'clock, and we will have games and food and hay rides and music and just a wonderful time, and it doesn't cost anything. That is at the Prospect Park on October 7th, that's a Sunday, from 3 o'clock till 6 o'clock. So I look forward to people coming out and enjoying that time. It's a great time for your kids. I've never seen kids crying and say, "I want to go home, Mommy." They seem, and even the older adults have a great time too. It's just a real good time. It's a good time to visit and get out and enjoy the fall, because fall colors are going to be sneaking in on us, and it seems like winter just snuck up on us fast. Isn't that funny? First day of fall sneaks in, and the weather just instantly changed.
Yeah, it seemed like. It hung on there for a couple of days, those 80 degrees, but then when it dropped, boy, like the bottom just fell out, you know.
I was standing at a ball game Friday night watching a football game, and I was leaning on a fence, and it was like warm, and all of a sudden the wind started coming in, and it was like, whoa, what's going on? My wife looked at me third quarter, she said, "You think we could go?" She said, "I'm freezing." And we did, we left. But now it's... a lot of things changing. Fall's coming on. Time to start thinking about battening the hatches at home and cleaning up for the fall and the winter and getting things done. I want to talk a little bit about that today. Kids are back in school now. Everyone's settled in back in school. Vacations are pretty much done. We still have sports out there. We always will. Sports will be taking time, and they always will. We always will have that. But I think it's a good time for families to think about getting their families back in church. And maybe if you don't have a church to go to find that church and to start coming and having that regular time that you spend with family. You know, it's kind of interesting, Terry. I love polls, and I love polls and studies that are taken that don't have a real agenda behind them, but they're looking for information. And those type of polls typically will be a more of a fair and balanced and honest poll. I can make a poll say about anything I want if I target the right people, right? If I'm looking for a Donald Trump approval rating, all I've got to do is call registered voters that are voted his way, and I'm going to get a huge number. And if I'm looking for a negative, I can do the same thing. It's pretty easy to do, and they do it all the time. But it's real interesting. I was reading a poll the other day that 67% of the families that say they eat dinner with their family had a higher, there was a 67% higher rate of kids staying out of trouble, going on to secondary school, of families that stayed together. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I mean, ate dinner. Just stop to eat dinner together. and have open discussions. And the parents had lots of juvenile problems and all those things. Now think about something that simple. You know, I remember growing up as a kid that you ate dinner together. That's just what you did. We had a family across the street that mom and dad worked two different shifts, and they would just, one of the older kids would go to McDonald's and get this like grocery bag full of stuff, just throw it on the table every night. And I thought that was the strangest thing in the world. But you know, today it's not all that strange. And we do need those times where we sit down and have some eye-to-eye contact with our parents, with our kids, with others in our family. You know, what's going on today? How are things, you know, a lot of things get hashed out at the table. A lot of things get, you know, we need that come together time. And I think that it's the same thing with going to church, coming to church as a family and doing something that's a positive thing like that and taking the lessons that we get and having that discussion as a family, you know, hey, what did the pastor talk about today? How can we apply that to our lives? What do you think about this? And it also, as far as parents go, many times it keeps us on our toes and it keeps us thinking, wait a minute. My kids just heard this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm not doing this, and now maybe I better be a better role model than what I'm showing them, because they're watching us each and every day. But coming into fall, there's so many things that are going to start rapidly happening, and one thing is going to get cold. We know that. And because of that, the gas bills start going up. You know, it's time to tighten the belt a little bit. I really believe so, it's time that we tighten the belt. It's time that we start to think about going and getting our windows sealed up. You know, there's a home energy weatherization program for people that meet certain income guidelines where they will actually come out and weatherize your entire home. And you won't have to pay for it. And I want to put that out there so people can look into that if they have that problem. Don't let the cold weather blow the heat right out of your house and then freak out when you get an $800 gas bill and you're not able to pay it. You know, think about these things ahead of time. What are some things that we can tighten up? What are some things that we can pay attention to?
To help, you know.
Absolutely. And what are some things we can cut a little? It's time to start thinking about putting your storm windows in your storm doors and sliding them up and not the screens. You know, a lot of different things like that that people don't realize how much heat they're actually losing in their homes.
Yeah.
And they do lose a lot of heat that way. But it's time to start wearing a little warmer clothes, thinking about your kids leaving for school. And thinking about your kids leaving for school and what they're wearing in the morning and what they have with them. And think about, you know, more nutritious things that they should be eating. You know, it's time where people are starting to come back in the house.
Pastor, one thing I thought about, too, and I know you guys do a really good job of this at your church, too, is do you think you could, like, one area you could cut money and help you save would be, like, taking a lunch maybe every day, right, or something? Or I mean, I know you guys do a good job of preparing those for kids that need them.
Right. Stuff. Yeah, I think so, and I think that, you know, it's not that hard for a parent to...
I mean, you could buy stuff all week and make it, you know, for lunches or whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
Still save some money as opposed to...
Absolutely, you can. Yeah. And, you know, in the olden days, we used to get this thing called a newspaper. Uh-huh. And the newspaper would come and mom would go through and she'd look at the ads and see who had on sale that week. Well, we still get a lot of those ads from the grocery that come in those ad bags. But, you know, you can go to a store and get a particular lunch meat that's on sale or when bread's, you know, 10 for 10 or whatever it is, and start planning those things ahead. You know, let the kids pack the lunches. I'll be honest with you guys, a lot of kids waste half their lunch at school, and they just do. And I see it, and, you know, maybe there's something that you could ask your kids. If there's something, a particular thing I pack in your lunch that I could be guaranteed you'd be eating every day, or, you know, what would you like me to take? Another thing that's important, too, is if you're in that program, too, almost all the schools, I'm sure now, offer some form of breakfast in the morning. I know the school that my kids go through, even in high school, the first three periods of the day when they come to study hall, they're able to leave and go down to the cafeteria and grab something. And if there's cost there, it's minimal. It's not a lot. But you need to make sure your kids are getting nutrition. Let me tell you what, they can't think if they don't eat. And that's just a fact. They're sluggish. They can't think well. and question your kids about these things. What are you eating? Did you eat today? If you're going to have kids buy their lunch, make sure that you pay it monthly so that they have a charge system that comes down on, they mark them off. Don't send your kids to school with money every day. I know when I was in school, most of the kids usually saved that for their cigarette money anyway, and then didn't eat lunch. That was a pretty common thing to do. That's what we, you know, kids, hey, you know, mom gave me lunch money today. I'm not eating. I'm going to buy A, B, or C. And I think that was probably going on for generations, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I hear from that side. Yes. You were probably in that group.
Well, now, I mean, I wasn't in the group that bought cigarettes, but I ran around with people that.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's just, you know, we got to start planning and thinking.
Yes, yes.
Sit down. You know, one thing that's pretty cheap is a yellow legal notepad. And if you don't have one, go out and get one. Go to Walmart. They're like 99 cents. And sit down and get a pen out and start writing, write down some of these things. Start some ideas. Start making some lists. I need to do this to start weatherizing my home. Need to start looking, see if there's a church I'm interested in. Talk to someone you know that goes to a church that seems to really like it, and see if maybe somewhere they'd like to go, you'd like to go. Start looking at programs like we talked about with Team Kid. There's Awana programs in town. There's which is another youth program, but there's Team Kid that we do. There's youth group on Sunday night. There's a lot of neat things going on. There's FCA in the schools, which we do at our school. By the way, folks, I want to make sure everybody knows this. Tomorrow, nationwide, is See You at the Poll. And that is a time where anyone and everyone can show up at their school in their district and meet around a flagpole and pray with the kids. It's completely volunteer. This is an annual thing. Elgin will be doing it at between 7 and 7:15 in the east parking lot around the flag, and in the elementary we will be in the west parking lot at 8:30. But the kids will have a few words to say, and everyone's welcome to pray. So please come out and show your support and do that.
Are you saying any words, Pat, or just you're just gonna pray with them? Or?
I'll just pray with them. Really, because it's a student-led thing.
Oh, okay.
I know in the past that sometimes.
I didn't know if they were going to have the pastor say a few things, you know.
You know, I've seen that happen. Uh-huh. But in my particular case, I'm the FCA huddle coach at Elgin, co-coach along with Melody Baker. And okay. We also have Gene Park helping us out.
So you're just
going to
kind of let the kids kind of.
And we want to hand it off to kids.
Okay.
We have some great
okay.
kids. And, hey, let them sit back and let them do
yeah,
their
that's
thing.
Yeah, that's good. You know, that's great. I just didn't know, you know, what the agenda, you know, I mean, as far as.
I know at Elgin we've got we had our first FCA meeting last Friday. We'll be meeting every Friday at 7 in the morning in the media room. Anyway, the kids know what room it is we meet in. And it has a name. I just lost it. It's study hall room, okay?
Right.
But anyway,
they'll find it.
They'll find it. But then we also have we've had to reschedule it twice now. We had a bonfire we're going to do for a big kickoff. And the reason we had to reschedule it both times have been, if I'm not mistaken, I know this time is they have Saturday's a huge band competition. We were going to do it Saturday evening. And that was last Saturday.
Yeah.
But we're going to do it now, more of an Oktoberfest type thing in October.
Gotcha.
But, you know, we do a lot of neat stuff. And we invite guests to come in sometimes to the school that are approved of the school. And we've had some pretty neat guys there. We had a guy in there last year that he had been a student athlete and had lost both of his arms roughly at the elbows in a press. He was on the weekend, he was helping a friend's dad get some business caught up, and had a 50-ton press that they were stamping car parts out of, and he got his arms under it, and it literally disintegrated his arms from below the elbows. Believe it or not, Terry, this is the honest truth, this kid went on the next year and led his district in tackles as a linebacker with no arms from the elbows down.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That's
is that
amazing.
Drive or what?
Yes.
But he came and spoke to the kids about overcoming difficulties and of course what God had done in his life too, And
I was getting ready to say, you hear it a lot, but in his case, praise God, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
and then we a year before that, we had Joel Pinton there. Now, Joel Pinton played for OSU, and he was something very few people hear about. He was the academic All-American. He got what was called... He got what was called the... what was the name of the word? The award is considered the humanitarian Heisman is what it is. And it is the Heisman Award that is given for the student athlete in college across the country that does the most humanitarian goodwill. And he got that.
I like it. Good.
And
good.
Anyway, he graduated from OSU, and he and his wife now, his wife was a gymnast at OSU. And it took me a second. I forgot which sport for a minute. But anyway, his wife and he, they have a ministry where they go around to schools and they talk to young people about overcoming and things of that nature. So we sponsor them another year. So there's neat things we do with FCA. But what I'm trying to get to you parents out there to explain to you, there's a lot of things available. And a lot of things people can actually get rides to, they can get picked up for. You just got to look out there and say, hey, you know, this is what I'm planning to do. Somebody give me a hand. You know, several years ago, I was one of my daughters was in starting high school, and she was starting to go through a difficult time, maybe running with some wrong friends, got in with the wrong group, grades started dropping, attitudes started going away, and we're like, what are we going to do with this child, you know? And I went to the school, and I pulled a guidance counselor aside, and I said, look, I said, here's the deal. I want to work with you. Will you work with me? We need to change some things with this young person, with my daughter. I can't be here to watch her every day, but you got better eyes than I do. And I want her in some programs and with some kids that you know will be positive role models. And they went out of their way to make sure that happened. You know, within 6 months' time, my daughter went from bad grades, wrong friends, all those things, to good friends, great grades, had a wonderful high school experience, she's a beautiful, wonderful adult with a beautiful family, and she's passed that on to her children. See, the thing is, don't be ashamed to ask for help with your children. You know, if you call me at the church, 740-494-2222, leave the message. If you need help finding someone to help you with your kids, call me. I may be able to help myself in some way. But don't let your kids just stumble down a bad path. Unfortunately, a lot of times young people will decide that they want to be cool. So they start out trying to be cool, and before you know it, they get in over their head, and they're not cool anymore. And all those people that they were trying to impress, they vacate them. They're not going to stick around and take the heat for them. And all of a sudden, you got these kids that were doing well that are suddenly in trouble. They're getting in trouble at school. And it just doesn't need to be. And there needs to be an outlet for parents to say, hey, how do I get my kids on the right track? Who do I talk to? Your guidance counselor is one person at school, of course. But your pastors are there, too. And there's church programs. And there's all these things that you can get involved in. And somebody say, well, I've heard bad things go on in churches too. Well, sure they do. They go, it's the world. They go on everywhere.
But you hit the nail on the head, though. Don't be afraid to ask.
Absolutely. Don't be afraid to ask.
You're not a bad person if you ask.
No. No, it's the person that asks that shows that they're trying to do something.
Exactly.
You know,
you'll be more than glad to help somebody if they...
We have a plight in this country that we have that is just getting to be larger and larger that we didn't used to have, and it's called single moms. And my heart goes out to them because, you know, women, you're great with kids. You're wonderful. You work hard. I get all that. I know that. But there's something about having a father and mother in the home that helps stabilize it. And everybody knows that. And not to be disparaging against someone that doesn't, I'm just saying that we know that. And when you don't have that man in the home to sometimes be there if nothing else, maybe the enforcer, right? In a good way. I mean, but understand, it's hard. And sometimes you need that extra help. They need a mentor. Little girls need a dad. They really do. And little boys need a mom, and they need a dad to look up to. They need a dad. I mean, what else do we do as parents? I mean, as parents, moms and dads, we're supposed to mentor our young kids to become healthy, quality young women and quality, healthy young men. And you need them. And in the homes today, in many cases, we don't have that. So please don't be afraid to ask. You know, we started one of the things we do at the church is we have a HO scale train club that we started. And it was actually started by David Grace, who was a elder in our church. Wonderful, wonderful man. Went home to be with the Lord last winter. I'm going to miss him dearly. And I do miss him dearly. But he started this train club shortly before. He came to me one day and he said, "Pastor, what can we do? Because there's got to be something we can get these kids involved in. I was thinking about my trains," because he's always been a big train guy. And we started that club, and it's a neat club. What is there anything better that you can get a young kid involved in that he can show up on a Saturday with a couple hours, run the trains, have fun, get his own trains, make his own cars, start to have something that he looks forward to? I mean, it's something. It's something. It's something tangible. It's something he can hang on to, something he can build with. And there's life lessons to be done there. And, of course, being one of the church, we will have a little devotion time while they're there. And there's going to be some solid adult men there that are some younger men that have families that are going to reach out and embrace them as far as helping them along. And we have the same thing. We have some beautiful young college-age girls in our church that periodically will have a girls' day where just little girls come and they have a tea and they do these things and they make them feel pretty and they paint their nails and they do their hair and do all these things. I want to tell you, Terry, that's some things that some little girls just never get. You know, they just never get. And sometimes mom would like to, but some moms are trying to work two jobs, keeping things going, it's just really hard. But these are things that are available to the church, and people got to start reaching out and saying, you know what, I need better for my family than what they're getting. The schools are doing everything they can. You know, the programs are there. They can't find enough people to run the programs. Speaking of which, I know that we had Cheryl Lee on. Cheryl Lee was on 2 weeks ago with who was she on right
before? Linda.
Linda. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're constantly needing people to help with their after-school Bible club. And we just can't get people, she can't get people to be there and to help with that. It's a very simple thing. You know, school's out at 3:30 in the afternoon. You're out of there at home by, you know, you're leaving by 5, you know, one day a week. And, you know, that hour and a half to be there for those young kids to have that special time and that special attention that maybe they don't get enough of. The needs are going up with our children today. We've always had needy kids, and we've always had kids that took special attention in school. But honestly, the number of them is going up. It's not going down. And so now you've got a teacher in a classroom, and say she's got 25 kids, and 10 of those kids are really needy. It's kind of hard to balance that. It truly is. And these teachers are not in there because they dislike kids. To spend your day with a bunch of little children, you know, that's something you desire to do.
Right.
You know, that's a life calling on many teachers. But they don't have all the time. But there are other things out there that can relieve that personal stress in other ways. What about tutoring kids? How many of you out there, I'll ask this question, could be someone that could tutor a child that maybe you don't want them coming to your home, but you could be at a neutral place, or you could go to that parent's home, or whatever the case is, that maybe you could tutor some children that are struggling in reading and math and English. And you know, what a wonderful gift to give someone. We don't always have to be paid for everything we do, and it's nice when we are. It really is. But sometimes some of these things, we can do them just to do them. And a lot of times, once we're retired, we do have time on our hands. And I know there's a lot of retired teachers out there. And quite frankly, you don't have to be a retired teacher. You know, everyone's raised kids for the most part, and most people can read and write, and most people can do a little math, although some of this math today I'm not sure I can do. But honestly, just be there for someone, you know, an encourager. You know what I mean? Encourage kids to do better with their lives.
Just someone for them to talk.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
You know,
how was your day? How, you know.
And you know, I got to tell you something, though. I need to tell you something. If you do that, if you take on that challenge, you're going to find out that once you open that door, you're going to get a real response in most cases. Because in many cases, a lot of these young people, they need that so desperately that once they get it, they just crave it. And if you're the object of that, be prepared to spend some time to do those things. And we spend so much time, I think, in our country today trying to buy kids happiness that we're missing the boat with them. I mean, I can buy kids stuff all day long. You know, I can go out, I can save my money if I'm on a limited income. And say I finally get the $400 it takes to buy this kid the best cell phone in the world. And I buy them this best cell phone, and 6 months later, it's out of date. And the point is, what have I done anyway? Have I really helped them? Have I really built a relationship? Have I, you know, the things that we continually do. Yeah, the kids sitting at home just pushing buttons with their thumbs all day. Uh-huh. Get them out doing some exercise. Hey, let's grab a basketball and go play some basketball. I want to ask you men out there. Men, do you like to shoot some hoops still? Maybe you're 60 years old and love it. You got a neighbor kid on the street with nothing to do? Get his parents' permission to shoot hoops. Maybe his dad might say, hey, I'll come with you. You know, the point is, let's get active in our communities again. I shared the other day with Scott on the Friday show, I think it was. Sometimes I get our conversations confused between our two shows. But I shared with Scott that my mother always said that the favorite place she ever lived was on South Harris Avenue in Columbus, Ohio, when my siblings were younger. And I was born there, but lived there maybe a month. Mm-hmm. But when my siblings were growing up there. And it was very blue-collar. No one really had anything. They lived from paycheck to paycheck, from month to month, and week to week, and sometimes day to day. But she said that everyone was involved with everyone else in the neighborhood. And everybody, no one was afraid to borrow a cup of sugar, or to offer to lend a thing of flour, or to help someone if they were short on dish liquid that week, or laundry detergent, or whatever the case may be, everyone was there for everyone if they had trouble with their kids. And she said, we were one big, poor, happy family. Now think about that. And why is it? Because they weren't trying to put on airs and act like they had things they didn't. They weren't afraid and ashamed to say, hey, look, this is where I'm at. This is reality. I need help, and when I need help, I appreciate help. But when you need help, I'm going to be willing to help. And that's the way I believe that we're – biblically, that's how we're supposed to behave. That's the what you will find if you start reading and studying your Bible. You'll find that people were there for each other. You know, in Acts at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came on the people, when the very beginning of the church – this is the first beginning of the church – everybody was so excited about what Christ had done for them that they no longer worried about the things that they had, and they sold everything and had everything in common. Now, I guess that you'd say that was the first example of a commune. And I'm not suggesting people do that, but what I'm saying is there's more important things in the world than things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It really
does. Yeah.
Relationships are important.
Sure.
Knowing that I got someone to lean on. You know, if I find myself in a difficult spot right now as a person, I know there's some people that I can call and say, hey, man, I'm in a difficult spot. Not everyone has that, Terry. And a matter of fact, I would almost bet that most people don't. And, I mean, people they can really count on is that aren't going to judge them, that aren't going to, you know, say, scold them, that aren't going to say, you know, I told you you were going to, people that are just going to be there for you as it's needed. We try to provide that in the church. I believe in our church we do. But we need to see more of it. We need to see more community involvement. Parents not afraid to go to the school and say, I could really use your help. And they may be able to direct you somewhere where you can get some help for your kids and get some help with a certain student. Touch base with the school. You know, one thing my parents always did that was a good lesson for me to learn and to know that was going on, they always had open communication between the school and themselves. And I tried to do the same thing with my kids. If my kids, there was something going on, I wanted that phone call. I want to know what's going on. I'm not going to scold the teacher for calling. I wanted that phone call. And I think that we need to be doing that. I know that we have, you met John. John came on here, coaches football, coaches middle school at Elgin, coaches football. And I'll tell you, that guy's got a heart of gold. And I know what they pay those guys. They don't pay them anything. And I know that he probably puts a lot more money out during the season for those kids than he ever gets coming in. And why does he do that? Because he wants to help those kids and build character. And you're dealing with these kind of people. Make good use of them. And at the same time, appreciate them. Don't be afraid to walk up to these guys and say, hey, I appreciate what you do for these kids. And don't be afraid to tell your child when they're carrying on, their coach did this and that, say, well, you listen to coach. You know, coach has your best interest at heart. Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's just we've got to become planners. We got to become, you like this that word, proactive. You've heard that before. Yeah. We got to be proactive in what we do. Things aren't naturally just going to happen for you. It doesn't work that way. Kids don't just naturally become great adults. You don't just naturally be able to pay your bills. You don't just naturally have a warm house when you've noticed holes in the siding all summer. You know, all these kind of things. You got to start thinking about, what am I going to do? Winter's coming on. Here's another good one. Christmas is coming up. Guys, I got to tell you something. We're now almost to the 1st of October. We've got October, November, December. Today's the 25th. Right? 6th or 25th. Christmas is December 25th. Okay, you see where we're at? October, November, December. We got 90 days till Christmas. How many of you have even thought about Christmas yet? See, my wife and I have been going out and we'll see something and say, you know, especially this time of year, because a lot of things for the summer, they're starting to mark down because they want to put their winter stuff in. And you look and say, that'd be great for one of the kids. Get it and put it away. And here's the real important thing about when you do that is make a list. Make a list of those things, because here's what will happen if you don't. You'll forget what you got, you'll forget where you put them, and you'll buy something else. I've done it too many times. I know all about this. And then I also have to have enough discipline to say, when I hear they might want something, to say, hey, look, we already bought them this. This is what they're getting, and they'll like it. And maybe tell a parent or someone else, no, we can't buy them that. We already bought them something. You know, do something else. But the point is, you know, start thinking about that Christmas coming up, doing little things at a time. Start putting, you know, if you can squeeze out maybe a $5 item a week or something over the next several months, that kid's going to have a bunch for Christmas. But if you wait till that last week and all of a sudden you haven't bought anything and you look and you've got four kids sitting there that are expecting Christmas, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to pay your rent for December, or you're not going to pay your gas or your electric. When if you had just squeezed out a little bit, people say, Pastor, you don't know how tight it is. And I'm right. You're right. I don't. But at the same time, I know that we can usually squeeze it out if we think about it and think about it. I mean,
it leads me to a thing. If you can cut back to one Starbucks, maybe instead.
One Starbucks, you know,
or cut out one Starbucks, whatever.
Or one Starbucks. Yeah.
Sorry, I just thought of that.
Not just Starbucks. I mean, there's some things people spend a lot of money for every week that just, you know, you could cut back on.
Think about lowering your cell phone plan or something. I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you need all the fancy?
I had a little girl tell me one time. This just blew me away. But she came up to me and she says, Pastor, she said, we're going to have a pretty good Christmas this year. I said, you are? She goes, yeah. She said, Daddy said he's going to cut out pot for the month of December.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, out of the mouth of babes. Right?
Yeah.
Out of the mouth
of babes. Oh, my goodness. You got to love them, though.
You got to love them. You got to love them. But, hey, look, Dad told him that's what he was going to do. That's an honest truth.
Only kids.
That's a true story. No, really, start putting stuff back. Start thinking about things that are start walking through the stores. Guys, your kids don't have to know you bought it in the discount aisle. They'll never know the difference. Yeah. Look at the markdown aisle, stuff that's in
Good Morning America or something. Somebody said that now would be the time if you're going to get toys. You know, because like they said, they're doing that markdown from one season to the next, so you're going to get great deals on. There was like five things they named, like toys and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying. Athletic apparel.
Athletic stuff is huge. Athletic shoes was one of them or something.
Even if you buy like short sleeve athletic shirts.
Right.
I mean, kids will wear that with a long sleeve thing under it.
Yeah.
You know, you're not wasting your money on it. Socks, athletic socks.
Right.
All these kind of things. End of sports season stuff. I'll give you an example. All the kids' golf leagues are just ending at school if your kids play golf. Now's the time to, and golfers are stopping, it's time to pick up golf stuff. It's time to pick up all the summer stuff, volleyball stuff. Volleyball will be ending soon. Now, football will be ending soon. So they're going to be looking at basketball and baseball and wrestling, and those costs will go up and the other stuff will come down. So, you know, look at those things. And then if you have enough foresight to look ahead, when those other seasons end, earlier that they would have already ended earlier. Then there's a time to go in and buy those things for the following Christmas. But you can do that. Don't be afraid to buy your kids a Bible. And if you buy them one, make sure you find one that is geared towards them, like a teen study Bible or a youth study Bible, because most of the time when you buy those, there's one out called the Serendipity Study Bible. There's several teen study Bibles. What's neat about them is, beside each passage, they'll have a little story that explains it, what it's about, and it'll be relational to them. That helps a great deal.
I've been doing the one now where it's on a CD, and I can just listen to it on the way to work or something. I've been doing that.
That's great, too.
Yeah.
That really
then
is.
Then that way, what you can do is you can highlight different passages and things like that, you know, if you want to fast forward to...
Right, exactly.
You know, I've been doing that. I started off, I rented it from the library, then I found it, and I just went and bought it, and...
Good for
you.
It's
like a 3 or 4 disc set. It's on a CD.
Something that we started doing a few years ago, and I haven't done it recently and checked in on it, but you can actually get it's a portable Bible in a little machine. Like, it's about the size of, remember you used to see the old mini tape recorders?
Yeah.
Little ones they're about that size, and they have the whole Bible on them. And you can give those to people in nursing homes that can't read any longer. Oh. And they can listen to those, and they can back up, fast forward, and do whatever they want to do. Or someone can help them
do that.
That's
a good idea.
Those are available, too. And I've done that a lot in the past with people, and it's very, very helpful.
Okay.
Don't always count on getting them back. But you know what? So what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to tell you something out there. If you need a Bible for your kids or for anyone, please let us know. That's something we all do. We do plenty of that. And we try to help in any way we can with families. We even have a lady in our church that is willing to do financial planning for people, basically sit down with them with what they have coming in and help them figure out a budget. And it doesn't cost anything. And a lot of churches are doing this kind of stuff now and helping families. You know, we talked last week with Thunderbolt. And Thunderbolt was in. I was talking about all the outreach that churches do. Terry, I got to tell you, the more I thought about that during the week, people just have no idea how much the church is keeping things afloat out there. And the reason that people don't know about it is because most people that are doing it from a pure heart are not out there waving a flag that they're doing it. They're just doing it. And they do it every day. I know that in our church, our budget, what we see in our budget, no way reflects the amount of good that comes out of what people do. because we're a lot of churches where you go to do something and you go in and you've got to get a requisition form and do this and do that. Man, we have people that just go do it. You know, if somebody needs something at home and they need help with something, say they need shampoo, say they need some food, say they need some groceries, say they need some gas. In most cases, someone will just do it. It doesn't go through the church. Church never sees it. It's just done mm-hmm. by people. Yeah. And nobody knows who did it. I've had people on many occasions come up to me in church and hand me a money and say, hey, can you see that so-and-so gets this and don't let them know where it came from? Praise God for those people. Because they're not one, their rewards in heaven. It's not here on earth. And I see that a lot in the church out of a lot of people. You know, just helping people because they need it. And nobody needs to feel guilty about that. There's so many. I know Prospect UMC, United Methodist Church, they have a personal needs pantry where people can get personal items. You know, those you don't always see in these pantries. You'll see food and this and that. But they do things like razors and soap and deodorant and all those kind of things that, you know, some products that maybe you can't afford to go buy. And if you look at some of this stuff in the store today, man, is it expensive. You know, I'm a cheapskate, and I don't know how to live. I wouldn't know how to live if I wasn't.
Same here. I live Dollar Tree. I mean,
I mean, between the Dollar Tree and the Salvation Army, yeah, that's about my shopping experience.
Exactly.
I hear these people always taking off and going to Polaris for the weekend.
Right.
If I went to Polaris, it would be just to sit in the parking lot and be in awe of all this stuff. Because
I just go to the mall and watch people, because that's about all I can afford to do if I go to Polaris.
I have never paid more. I want to make sure I'm not lying here. I don't think I have. I don't think I've ever paid more than $20 for a pair of pants in my lifetime.
Wow.
I don't think I ever have.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. If they're not on clearance, if they're not on sale, if I can't get what I want at one of those, I just don't do it.
What about shoes? Same. What?
Shoes? No, shoes.
Dress shoes I know are always pretty expensive. I mean, you know, but
not really. I mean, to be honest with you. Man, watch the markdowns in the store.
Yeah.
I have picked up, I was in the store about a year ago with my wife, and I saw some really comfortable tennis shoes that I had had before, and they were marked down at Walmart for $5. And I bought 3 pairs of them and put the other 2 up. I said, man, I'm not missing this. But think about that. I mean, why not do that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, you realize what that saves me in the long run?
Yeah. I missed out on some just like that, $3. I normally bought them. They were 14. They marked them down to 3, and I missed it and didn't get them. But
you know, what I'm saying out there to people is do these things. You know, start thinking about these things. But honestly, these are some of the things that, believe it or not, you're going to learn in church. And the reason being is because the closer we draw to the Lord, the more He leads us and guides us, the more stable our life becomes, the more we're able to sit and start putting things together, and the more you have other people that love you dearly because God gives them that love, and they're going to help you walk that way. So this is why I encourage you to come to church. And I do encourage you also, if you would, if you're in the area, to come to our church. We're at 209 East Water Street, right in the middle of Prospect. We're only about 9 miles from the middle of Marion. And we're there on Sunday morning. Sunday morning service is 10:30. Sunday evening, 6:30. We have some great midweek Bible studies on Wednesday. But give us a call at 740-494-2222. Or you can go online at prospectccf.com. You know, would love to talk to you, get some feedback from you. And you know what, Terry? It's been a good show.
I think so.
I've enjoyed this discussion.
Yep.
You know, getting people on the right track and keeping myself on the right track. Yeah. And I know you want to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Hey, God bless you guys. It's been great talking to you. Have a beautiful evening.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP.